Welcome to the Purpose Inspired podcast. I'm your host, Wayne Visser, and this season is based on my book, Thriving, the Breakthrough Movement to Regenerate Nature, Society, and the Economy. Let's get to it. The key of continuity. The ultimate goal of living systems is continuity, the ability to survive as long as possible and then to renew or reproduce. In nature, organisms engage in a plethora of strategies and tactics to ensure that they can stay alive. But evolution has also made sure to prioritize reproduction, which is genetically hardwired as a fundamental driver of behavior. Find a mate and procreate. Hence, we have a multi-level dynamic. First, ensure individual continuity, then ensure genetic continuity, and thereby also ensure collective continuity. It is the same with families, organizations, cultures, and whole civilizations. Despite continuity being such a fundamental driver in nature, as humans we seem rather inept at ensuring our own long-term survival. Jared Diamond, in his book Collapse, How Societies Choose to Fail or Survive, gives many examples of communities and civilizations that have collapsed. The five underlying causes are climate change, hostile neighbors, the loss of essential trading partners, environmental degradation, and how the society responds to those four factors. If we are to learn from history, global climate damage and ecological breakdown are huge red flags that we should not be ignoring. The key to continuity is evident in what has become known as cathedral thinking. In 2019, the Sagrada Familia Cathedral finally got its building permit 137 years late, and it's still not expected to be completed until 2028. That's not an unusual timeline. Notre Dame in Paris took 182 years to build, and it was more than 850 years old when the fire of 2019 did so much damage. It will be restored and may last another 850 years. In medieval Europe, multi-generational planning was inspired by the glory of God and the ego of kings, and occasionally queens. What about today? How often do we take actions that even our great-grandchildren will benefit from? Is belief in a flourishing earth and thriving society enough? What is our modern-day equivalent of the Native American sustainable development philosophy of thinking seven generations ahead? Roman Krznaric calls this being the good ancestor in his book of the same name. We seem to be trapped in a world of myopic short-termism, driven by a capitalist system that is obsessed with quarterly returns for absent shareholders. According to McKinsey research, this does not even make economic sense. Their 15-year analysis of short-term versus long-term oriented companies found the long-term firms showed 47% more revenue growth and 36% more earnings, had $7 billion more in market capitalization growth, and a higher total return to shareholders, and led to the creation of 12,000 more jobs. One distinguishing feature is that the long-term companies invest almost 50% more in research and development, including during financial crises. It is time companies challenged quarterly capitalism and focused on long-term value creation. According to the former managing director of McKinsey, Dominic Barton, such capitalism for the long term requires three shifts. First, business and finance must change their incentives and structures to fight what Barton calls the tyranny of short-termism. Second, stakeholder value needs to be embraced, with a clear message that this is not at odds with optimizing overall corporate, including financial, value. And third, boards need to govern like owners rather than playing second fiddle to dispersed and disengaged shareholders. Writing in 2011 in the wake of the global financial crisis, Barton concluded with this warning, and I quote, "If capitalism emerges from this crisis, vibrant and renewed, future generations will thank us. But if we merely paper over the cracks and return to our pre-crisis views, we will not want to read what historians of the future will write." End quote. Getting humanity to change our collective time horizon is the mission of the Long Now Foundation, which is building a clock that will keep accurate time for 10,000 years. This is the brainchild of computer scientist Danny Hillis, as a way to challenge our short-term thinking. And it's actually happening. Deep inside a mountain in West Texas, surrounded by 5,000-year-old pines, its marine-grade stainless steel, titanium, and dry-running ceramic parts are being assembled. In our hurried, harried lives, where we are brainwashed into thinking that time is money, let us pause and remember that time is also continuity. Time is the only future we will ever have. Besides changing our perspective on time, another way to bolster continuity and ensure thriving is to build resilience, a theme we will return to later in this season's episodes. Living systems regularly survive crises because they have design features that allow them to absorb shocks and bounce back from disruption. In particular, what allows living systems to continue after a disaster is that they have defense mechanisms and high levels of diversity that allow them to adapt creatively. They are also often decentralized and have spare capacity or slack in the system, so shocks to one part do not automatically debilitate all the other parts. In COVID-19 times, we've certainly learned a thing or two about resilience and what it takes to ensure continuity for individuals, organizations, economies, and societies. Now we need to apply those lessons to all types of living systems, including nature, business, government, and civil society. Making a dent in the universe. With the foundations laid for understanding thriving, the next series of episodes reflects on the forces of breakdown or degeneration that we face. In doing this, I'm taking the advice of Admiral James Stockdale, who survived 7 years as a prisoner of war in Vietnam. He advocates embracing the Stockdale paradox. You must confront the most brutal facts of your current reality, yet always keep faith that you will prevail in the end. Thriving is a reason to keep faith. It is a positive answer to the question, what will you leave behind for your children and the world? Steve Jobs, co-founder of Apple, is famous for having said that we should all strive to make a dent in the universe. That is the hope and promise of thriving, to leave a good legacy for our children and grandchildren, to leave the world in better shape than we found it, and to create living space for the myriad other organisms that share and shape our beautiful planet Earth. And because we remain far from that goal, thriving requires a revolution in both thinking and action. Revolution. There's talk of revolution in the markets and the streets. There's talk of love and hatred in the rhyme of hip-hop beats. They say a change is coming to the corridors of power. They say the day of judgment draws nearer by the hour. There's news of revolution in the papers and the wires. There's news of greed and hunger, and it's spreading like wildfires. They say the planet's burning from our love affair with stuff. They say we're suicidal for not knowing what's enough. Let's start the revolution for the migrants and the slaves. Let's start regeneration with the sun and wind and waves. They say the world awakens as the networks spark and grow. They say the future brightens as we share the things we know. Let's join the revolution at the factories and the farms. Let's join the call to action, sinking hearts and linking arms. They see a new age dawning as the prophecies unwind. For the biggest revolution is a metamorphic mind. So be the revolution for the 99%. Be the change you want to see and make your chosen dent. Well, that's it for this time. I hope you enjoyed this episode and that you'll join me again next time when the story of Thriving continues. Just a reminder that if you don't yet have your copy of Thriving, you can get it at any retailer as an ebook, an audiobook, or a hardback. You may also be interested in the Thriving podcast, where I speak with various thinkers and practitioners of thriving and regeneration. You can find that by searching on your favorite podcast platform for Thriving the Breakthrough Movement. And finally, you might be interested in becoming a Thriving facilitator. If that sounds interesting to you, then do reach out and I can send you more information, or you can find it on my website, waynevisser.com. That's it for now, and we'll see you again next time. Hope you have a wonderful week.